Hey, massage friends, welcome to another episode of the MTP. If you're new around here, I'm Heather Rivers, RMT, with a background in kinesiology.
And I'm Nicole Andrews, registered massage therapist and contemporary medical acupuncturist. How's it going, Heather?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
We have a super special guest today, don't we?
We do. Friend, entrepreneur, what else can we, athlete,
yes.
Educator, and probably like the big, one of the big ones, chiropractor. So
yes.
We will let her introduce herself. Yeah, we'll throw it over to you.
I'm Dr. Teresa Lisk. I practice in Oshawa as a chiropractor, and I've been in practice for, in 2 days, it'll actually be 6 years.
Amazing. I feel like we all
awesome.
Have our anniversaries around the same time.
Yeah, yes. Today is my 12th year anniversary of being a massage
therapist.
Congrats. Yeah. I'm like the old person in this podcast, 12 years.
And 7 days ago, I celebrated 2 years. So yes, I'm the babe of this. Babe of the, in the career sense. So yeah. So that's amazing. So give us a little bit of background, Teresa, on like maybe starting like what made you go into chiropractor college, maybe what you did right before chiropractor college, because you don't go in right out of high school, right?
Right. So it's actually kind of an interesting story because I never wanted to be a chiropractor right off the hop, but the universe had other plans. So
it always does.
Yes. I went to UOIT, which is now called Ontario Tech, but will forever be called UOIT by me because I was one of the originals, one of the OGs.
OGs.
So I went there and did my Bachelor of Health Science and Honors from 2007 to 2011. And then from nearing the end of my schooling, actually in the middle, I was thinking I was going to be a medical doctor. That was my goal. I was planning to write my MCATs. Nice. I was talking about going to the States for school because it's very hard to get into Canada. And the person I was with at the time, I made a decision based on a boy. I mean, I could say it was a bad idea, but really it's not because, I mean, I like what I do. I love what I do now and I love how I got here. But he didn't want to go to the States. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm staying in Canada and I better figure out something else because MD is probably not going to happen. So then I was like, you know what? I'll be a dentist.
Yep.
So I wrote my dental entrance exams twice, actually. And you like learn how to carve a piece of soap and everything. It was pretty, like, I remember studying and you're carving soap for studying. Yeah. A little like cylindrical piece of soap into some crazy little tool that they give you randomly on the spot, right? Yep. So I wrote that twice at U of T. And because the first time I was like, I don't know what to expect. I don't really know how to study. And I'm just not paying for all those extra courses, mm-hmm. you know, when you're already paying for school and then grad school and applications. So I applied to dental school. And then I'm like, well, you know what? I wouldn't mind teaching at the university. So I applied to do my master's at U of T in nutrition. And then my chiropractor, who I had seen for only about 3 years prior, also it was in Oshawa, but she was practicing at the university. She said, you know what? I think you'd make a great chiropractor. So I was like, okay, well, what's another couple hundred in the pot when you're applying to all these schools anyways? So, you know, I applied to CMCC in Toronto, right? So I didn't get into dental school and I really wasn't all that crushed about it because I was like, ah, yeah, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. My master's, no one would supervise me in my topic. So I was like, that's out the window. And then CMCC accepted me, right?
Oh,
and
no.
So I was like, okay, so at 25K a year, if I don't like it, I'll just try the first year. If I don't like it, I will just not go and I'll just lose $25,000, right? And I get in and I loved it. And it was, and 100K later, I graduated after 4 years. So you get your Doctor of Chiropractic degree from CMCC. Wrote three sets of board exams, my ethics exam, and I think there was another exam in there somewhere to get my doctor, and I can't remember exactly what. But yeah,
did you need to do some sort of practical?
Your fourth year is all a clinical internship with two different professors you practice under, which is pretty interesting, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was I did my undergrad. I did my doctor of chiropractic. And it's funny because I didn't do my master's exactly when I thought I might, but now I'm going to do it next fall. I'm going to start it.
Perfect. That's awesome.
Amazing.
That's so crazy.
Question. If you did become a doctor, an MD, what would you have specialized? Would you have just been a general practitioner? Like, did you want to get into something specific?
I think I would have, knowing where I am now, been more holistic and more do hormone testing with blood work and nutrition now, because I love nutrition. Like, that's something in my practice now. I'm like, you know what? I need to learn more. So I'm going to go do my master's so I can add that to my practice now, because I just couldn't write scripts for people. That's just not me. I was like, I don't want a Band-Aid. I want to fix you the natural way if we can.
Yeah.
So that's probably why your chiropractor suggested.
She knew.
The more holistic approach, she knew. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's what you're doing with your master's?
Yeah. So hopefully, I haven't applied yet. I'm just kind of working out the details with getting a supervisor in the specific topic I want. And then once we got that, I'll apply for next fall part-time. So I'll still practice the same hours. I'll just do it part-time.
You became a chiropractor. Did you, when you first got out of school, did you, I know you work on your own now, because we know each other quite well, but did you work with someone? Was it always your goal to have your own space, or how did that turn out?
Yeah, so what happened was, in my mind, I was like, okay, maybe I need help starting out. Like, I don't know how to run a business. I've never really done it before. And a chiropractic business is totally different. So what I actually was doing in the beginning was I almost was an associate at another clinic in Oshawa. And the chiropractor there was lovely. And I'm still friends with her to this day. And so we went through, and it wasn't with her, it was the office manager. I went through 3 different revisions of a contract. And this was like going into like July of after graduation, right? So I have no job. I'm 150K in the hole. I'm getting divorced. Yeah. I have nowhere to live. My car broke down.
Hot twist, yeah.
And I'm like, and I don't have a job, because I was like, that last revision, I'm like, I don't feel good about this, so I'm not signing this contract. And I didn't have a lawyer, because you're a poor student and you're like, I can't afford another grand or 3 grand. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to, you know, pay for it. So I had someone else reading it over for me who had some experience with it. And I was like, you know what? Yes. Why am I going to go work for somebody else when I know in the end I just want my own, and I just want to be my own boss? And it's a hard road, and I knew I didn't know how hard. We have no idea how hard, as you guys, I know that. And so I just was like, you know what? I'm just going to start my own. So I pulled up to a gym in Curtis here, and I knew the owner from way back when I used to go to the gym, like 8 years prior, and because my siblings had worked there. And I said, hey, do you have a room for rent? And I will just plop my little portable chiro table down and start treating people in, I think it was September, because that's when I got my license then to start treating. Oh my God. I had like a little hole in the wall room with my little portable table, and I was just like scared to death.
That's when I met you. That's how I met you.
Yep.
That's where you were when I met you for the first time. So I was like super pregnant, or not, maybe not super, I was halfway. I was somewhere, I was second trimester with my first Jack. And I got referred to you by a mutual friend of ours. We actually, I think, met like once or twice before that, like in a social setting. And then I remember being like, all right, I had just left the clinic I was at, and the chiro I'd seen had been there, so I couldn't go back. That would have been weird. So I had to find a new one, and thank God, because I met you, and now we're like pretty tight, which is why you agreed to be on here and let us interview you today. That was a few years ago. That's crazy, actually, how time flies like that, eh? Like,
yes, I was in that gym for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah. And great. I had just too. Yeah, I had just signed the lease here after I met you, and you were looking for a massage therapist to like rent a room in the space that you had there. So I kind of just missed that by like a hot minute, but that's all right.
So how would you say, after you left Curtis and started your own, can you describe for our listeners what your clinic is like now? And because it is pretty unique for how a chiropractor runs. It's not your typical chiropractic clinic that everybody has in their mind. So if you want to kind of like shed some light on that.
Sure. So when I moved to my next space, it was still one room, except now I had one step up and I didn't just have a room. I had a designated little waiting area that I shared with the lawyer in the space I'm in. So, and I still didn't have reception at that point. So then I worked for a bit in the room, just me. And then after, I think I was there, maybe a year. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take the dip and I'm going to get a receptionist. So I started with a girl that I used to babysit like eons ago. And I've known her since she was born. So she was my receptionist for a few months. And then I hired someone who was a little more permanent because she was in undergrad. And so from there, we had like a little hiccup in the road and we had a change in tenancy in the building. So then I was like, okay, I'm gonna dive a little deeper and I'm gonna take on a little more space upstairs. So I had a little more space for a waiting room and a reception, but I was still in one room and it was just me. And then I was referring to Nicole at the time for massage, and Heather, I think you were seeing me up there too, right? Like I saw you and referred, and I referred to you then, right? And then last year, of course, during, you know, that horrible year and, you know what hit the fan, and our overall tenant, our overall landlord. So we have a landlord, but then we subleased from a guy who leased the whole house. And so during COVID, he started stealing our rent money and wasn't giving it to our overall landlord. So our overall landlord was like, hey, what's the deal? Like, why aren't you guys paying us? And we're like, we're paying him and we've paid him and here's our proof. And he was just keeping the money and not giving it to them, right? Long story short, they evicted him. And I was like, okay, so this is an opportunity. I can move on to the main level of the house. Wow. So I have two treatment rooms, a kitchen, a bigger handicap washroom, you know, a ramp. So my pregnant ladies don't have to climb up a flight of stairs to come see me anymore. Or if they have pain, they don't have to come up a flight of stairs. And so then after, right before we were allowed to go back full time, when the first lockdown finished, we moved down to the main level. And again, it was a risk. It was increased rent. It was going after a pandemic. God only knows what was going to happen. And so now we're down there a year and a year this month, which is crazy. And like, it's great because it's lots of space. I shouldn't say lost. It's enough for me to have two rooms to treat in, and then my reception area, and then four seating chairs for people to sit and wait if they want. But it's funny because now I'm like, this is great. I need something bigger. So probably next year. Yeah. You know what? And it's just because it'd just be nice to have like other practitioners, like another chiro and a couple other practitioners who just want to join the space, and we all work together, right? Like massage therapists, just so people can go to one spot for, you know, chiropractic and massage. And honest to God, would love to have enough space to throw a yoga studio in there so one of our good friends could come, you know, and teach yoga too.
Like a whole wellness type of studio, right? A whole wellness. That sounds good.
Only yes, if you absolutely. Could add my I have the same dream as you. Just add a little like tea cafe, coffee cafe somewhere in the mix and we good.
I was thinking about that today. I was like, you know what? In the next space, we're going to have a little area that you can make a coffee or a tea, you know, because hopefully like the pandemic, you know, all the distancing and all that worry will be over and people feel more comfortable.
I like it.
That's so wild. So since we're talking pandemic, you know, it seems that kind of people were pushed, practitioners specifically that I'm talking about, were pushed to either end of the spectrum. You either really were affected business-wise, and I know a lot of places closed up, or you kind of were on your, sounds like on your end of the spectrum. So would you say business only really kind of went up after we got back from the lockdown or our lockdown?
Yes, I would say probably. So that March to June, I saw only emergencies. And then June 9, I remember the day, I opened back up again. And it was June and July weren't bad. And then August, it was like everyone disappeared off the planet. And I was like, oh my God, are we gonna live? Are we gonna survive? Is this gonna be okay again? And then at probably around September, October, it picked right back up again. And it's been pretty busy and steady since then, which has been good. And I relate that to people wanting to take care of their health mm-hmm. more. They also felt like they didn't have anything else to do in all the lockdowns. And they were like, well, I'm going to come see you because I can see you.
Yes. It's a reason for them to leave the house and have human connection. And they weren't able to go see their doctor. And instead of running to like the ER or somewhere else to get treatment, they had to look outside the box for that kind of thing. Right. So
that's wild. That's awesome, though. I'm so happy that that was your trajectory for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. All right. So I have a question, Teresa. So you are on here and I wanted to ask you a bunch of questions because I'm continually asked from clients, family, friend, like, what is chiropractic care? Why should I use it? And what can it help me with? So I was wondering if you would like to enlighten our listeners and me, so I have a better answer for people, as to like, what's the foundations of chiropractic care and how you go about it? Because I know there's a lot of different, theologies and ways to go about practice and helping people with chiropractic. So if you could give us like a rundown of like that whole bit.
Okay, so that was a big question. So I'm going to try to answer it as best I can. And then if I leave something out, just ask me at the end and I will say it. So there's definitely so many types of practices with chiropractic. But for me, I see everybody. And I would say I'm more, you know, wellness-based. I don't expect patients to come see me only when they're in pain. I definitely encourage it. But I also encourage people to see me when they feel good, too, as I'm sure you guys do as well. So if I had to give a, not a short form, but just a general explanation of chiropractic that isn't super detailed so people can follow, what I would say is, you know, in chiropractic, we talk about going out of alignment or what we might call subluxated. Mm-hmm. And this subluxation or this alignment issue does have an effect on our body. And one effect it causes is our nervous system. So our nervous system is just made up of our brain, our spinal cord, and our nerves. However, this nervous system does supply every single cell in our entire body, which is huge, right? So when we're subluxated, mm-hmm. we're not getting that proper signal to our nerves to tell them what to do. When we go out of alignment, it could be millimeters of change in our spine, in our pelvis, in our neck. And what this does is when we go out of alignment, that proper signal isn't sent. And this could be, it causes information to be sent to an area slower, intermittently, or not at all. The best way I can relate to an alignment issue is the 401 or the highway in rush hour traffic. So when you have that rush hour and you get the narrowing of the lanes and you get that bottleneck of traffic, what's happening there is when you're out of alignment, you're not getting those cars through very fast. So that's information that's not able to get through. So what we do is we adjust your spine. So we put that bone back into place and that allows that to open up and then all the cars go through and all the information goes through. So if our brain has that bottleneck, it's not receiving information from our body. That's not a good thing because you need this information from your spinal nerves for many reasons. One is our balance and something we call proprioception. Mm-hmm. So just to be simple with proprioception, it's information about our body movement and our positioning. So when people are subluxated, they can feel clumsy or trip because they're not getting that proper information sent to their brain. You know, my patients comment to me sometimes, like, I just trip all the time and I don't know why, or I'm always clumsy, I'm always dropping things, and I've always just been like that, and I don't know why. And sometimes it's actually just because you're subluxated and you're not getting that information to your brain. It's like when you miss a step because you didn't see it. That's also very similar. Mm-hmm. So sometimes after an adjustment, patients will tell me that they feel like their mind is clearer. And that's because you get that clarity when we open up that channel and all that information goes through. So your brain feels kind of like all the cobwebs are swept off. Another thing I tell my patients about chiropractic is when you go out of alignment, that's a stressor on your body. Now, just because your body's in stress doesn't mean you're going to feel pain, because pain doesn't happen immediately unless you say, for instance, I trip and I stub my toe, or I fall and I break something. That is immediate pain. But when you have stress in your spine, you don't get that pain right away. Pain is when you have that last 10% of a problem, right? You'll have 90%, you have this problem, but have no pain, but you have all these other changes going on in your body. And then you get to a point where your brain is like, no, you need to fix this. And that's why your brain says, hey, here's pain and fix it. So if you think of when you have a cavity and you have the early stages of a cavity, you don't have any pain. And some people that don't go to the dentist on a regular basis, they develop pain, and then they go and they say, oh, we need to fix your cavity because you have a cavity. But if you have a really good dentist and you go for your checkups, they fix those cavities before they develop into pain. And similar to chiropractic, we mm-hmm. look for changes in your spine and fix them before they develop into pain. And then I'm going to go off a little bit on the hormone aspect of it, because patients say, I feel so good after. Why do I feel so good after an adjustment? So, and I'm going to preface this with, we are not changing your hormones. We are adjusting your spine, and your body is in the process of healing yourself. Like, we are just the mediator to help you, and your body does the healing. So when you're out of alignment, Yeah, that's a great word. Thanks. Sometimes my words are not the best at the end of the day.
Don't worry. No, it's great. I just thought I'd throw that word out there, because I use that word all the time with my clients. I facilitate your healing and well-being. Same. Your body does it. I facilitate. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's a great word. I love it. I'm going to remember that one. So with regards to stress, when our body undergoes any type of stress, our stress hormone, which is cortisol, goes up. And this cannot just be going out of alignment. This is a physical stressor, a chemical stressor, our emotional stressor. And when we're stressed, our body is so focused on the stress, we're not always able to do all the regular processes for our body. And that's why when you're stressed, you can have trouble sleeping, trouble eating, like you stress eat or you don't eat. You can have skin issues, or other things can arise. So for me, when I'm stressed, like, I break out and I'm always tired and I feel so sleepy all the time. So when we adjust people and we fix their alignment and their body starts to heal, that decreases their stress, which can help them with their issues. And as a chiropractor, when we adjust their spine and their brain and their body, it allows them to heal themselves, right? So we have a saying in our profession, and I know you guys do it in yours, if you don't take time for your wellness, you're going to be forced to make time for your illness. And when you feel good, just go in for an adjustment anyways. Don't wait till you're in pain or wait till you have an issue, because usually when I see you, it's going to take you way longer and more adjustments to fix you and get you on that wellness path than it would have if you came in when you were feeling great. And then people always ask me, well, how often do I have to see you? It depends, right? It depends on what you did, how long it's been going on for. It's not just my pain's a 7 out of 10 and I'm going to put you on this treatment plan, right? It's for me, it's subjective, but long-term, we definitely recommend maintenance care. And maintenance care is so different for everyone. I have patients that come every week, every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, or every 4 weeks. But what I generally say is come every 3 weeks. And why I say 3 weeks is because when you go out of alignment, at the 4 week mark, they've done studies that shown degeneration microscopically takes place in your joint. So come in at the 3 week mark, get that adjustment in, right? So that hopefully it's going to help you decrease that degeneration long term. When you get that microscopic changes in the long run, that's going to decrease, you know, how you can turn your neck, your range of motion, and your mobility. So that is probably my sum of chiropractic. Is there anything you think I missed that you want me to cover?
No, I wanted to go back though. I love your point with, you know, dysfunction doesn't always mean pain, and pain doesn't always mean dysfunction. Scenario basically, and and that you're saying that, you know, you could have dysfunction, and 90% of the time that you have that that dysfunction, you probably or could be pain free. It's that last 10% that, like, you're maybe hitting that 4 week mark, that 5 week mark type thing of sitting with that dysfunction. I think that's so key, because I know Nicole will agree that we see that a lot. People are coming in and they're like, well, I'm not in pain, so, like, why do I need to come in as well for massage? Or, you know, I'm in pain, the pain just started yesterday, therefore the dysfunction probably only started yesterday, which is not probably true.
No, I love it. With that, I find, I tell a lot of my clients that wellness is active, sickness is passive. Like that saying that you had that we have on the wall, if you're not making time for your wellness, like, we are either trying to be better or we are trying to be sick, and you don't just get to ride the middle line. Like, if you're not doing anything to actively make sure that you're staying well and using your body in good ways and catching those things, you are choosing the latter, because that's just how our bodies go. It's like, if you don't, like, weed your lawn, weeds happen. Like, they just won't magically not happen in your yard because you, like, wish them to not happen. You actually do have to weed your lawn and do all the maintenance care on it, right?
So, well, it's like, I really what like in that. Our lives doesn't need maintenance? Like, you said too, like, having our teeth cleaned, that we have, like, the care is maintenance. Pulling weeds in our lawn, our houses, like, they need ongoing maintenance. Our cars, like, why are we not doing that with our bodies and our minds as well, right? Like, why are we treating them any different?
We shouldn't be.
Probably. Oh, sorry, Nicole.
No, that's okay.
I was just going to say, it doesn't give instant gratification.
Yeah, probably.
It's not your Starbucks coffee in the morning. It's just, here's my $5 and I get my coffee, and it takes time and effort. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, you know, with society, we're burnt out, we're tired, and and we don't want to do it.
We don't get that.
Sorry, go Nicole.
No, that's okay. We don't get that, like, instant dopamine hit, right? And I'll segue to this. I think our society, maybe we've probably seen a ton in this pandemic, isn't set up to promote wellness. It's to take care of sickness only, right? So we're not, it's not ingrained in us to always be trying to be well. It's ingrained in us to be like, oh no, something's happened, how do I now fix it? As opposed to, how do I prevent it from ever needing to be, like, fully fixed, right? So I think that's, like, a major issue.
Yeah, I don't know where the mindset came from, but I feel like, I don't want to be, like, blaming generations or anything, but I feel like it's just something that's been passed on through the generations of, like, you know, you're in pain, tough it out. Like, I remember that in volleyball. Like, you know, I sprained my thumb, just to give a little antidote. I went to volley a serve and my thumb touched my wrist, like my forearm. I did go to the hospital, had x-rays. They said no fracture. I'll fast forward probably 15 years, Teresa saw on a x-ray that I probably did have a fracture at the time, but I was in pain all the time. And, like, I'm not blaming anybody, but it was, you know, parents, coaches, teammates, everybody. It's the society of, like, just push through it. You're not tough unless you push through it, you know? So it's like, oh, you know, you're hurting at your job. Well, you better tough through it because your job is more important than your health and wellness, which I don't know if that's a sustainable ideology that society can survive on, in my opinion. And I feel you two are probably on the same boat with that. So, yeah.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
So what are the main types of conditions that you see and chiropractic can treat? Because I think that gets lost out there when I'm talking to clients and just people who don't know much about chiropractic. They're not really sure what a chiropractor can help them with in terms of, like, what might be going on.
Sure. That list is never ending.
I can imagine. So give us, like, your biggest
one. So probably the biggest ones are, I see people, I mean, I do have the people who come in, they're like, I just heard it's good and I want to start doing it. And I'm like, yes, I like you. This is good so far, right? Then I would say neck pain, headaches, postural issues, back pain, disc herniations, radiculopathy, so that pain traveling down their arm or leg, or the weakness. Plantar fasciitis, sprain or strain, rotator cuffs are big, and tennis elbow, golfer's elbow, and then hip and knee pain. That would be probably the the big bulk of it. And then, you know, I do have people bringing in infants for colic, sleeping issues, not breastfeeding well. They turn their torticollis, so they keep their head kind of turned one way versus the other. Children come in for a lot of sports, dancers, and then seniors come in just for general wellness. They want mobility and they want to keep active.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bring my two sons to you. Actually, you just saw Benjamin for the first time the other week there.
Mm-hmm, so we did.
Yeah, he was doing all right, actually. I was pretty surprised, but I think I brought Jack in a lot sooner. We weren't in a pandemic then. But yeah, I bring both of them.
And you only had one and not two.
Yeah, that's true. It was easier to like just leave the house in general at that point in time in my life. So I wanted to let people know I bring my sons to you just because I think there's like, I don't know, a lot of people, seamless massage, they think like kids don't need it for some reason.
Yeah.
I do have a lot of like teens and kids and adolescents that come for massage therapy. But yeah, I as a baby went to a chiropractor. So I have a long history with chiropractics. I was a few, I think I was like 2 months old or something like that. My mom brought me, and then, well, now I'm a massage therapist. Actually, segue, my mom thought I was going to become a chiropractor one day, and I think somewhere she still thinks that might happen. So I have a long history with chiropractic care. So I'm asking these questions because I get asked them a lot from clients, and I'm always just like, well, I do it. You should do it too. And I kind of feel like there needs to be a better answer than that.
I always find that like when I'm bringing up, because I'm always trying to look at people's pelvis, especially like if they're saying they have knee pain or like mid back, up back, shoulder pain, I'm like, first thing I go to is that pelvis. And 9 times out of 10, they've got some sort of rotation or torsion going on in the upslip something. And so, but I feel like in my head, I'm like, oh, just send them just over to Teresa and she'll get them adjusted and feeling better, right? Like, but I always find I have to feel like I need to tiptoe with people, because if I said to somebody, oh, you know, I think you would benefit from physiotherapy, people are more accepting. So my question to you is, a lot of the thing resistance I see with people when I refer to chiro is I'm afraid of my neck being cracked, and I'm air quoting that because I know cracked is not really what you're doing, because a lot of people think cracked and you're breaking bones, and that is, we want to debunk that right there. Just the cracking in general, like, is the cracking bad for you? Like, I always heard if you crack your knuckles, you're gonna get arthritis. Like, I know that's probably a whole other podcast of going down the rabbit hole of how that all came to be, but what would you say to those people that are specifically nervous about like their necks being adjusted, or just that cracking in general is going to cause arthritis or long-term changes?
Well, as far as I know, I haven't seen any research saying cracking your knuckles causes arthritis. And I actually do it, and it's a mobilization for me with my hands, because I know you guys too, you work with your hands all the time. Yep. You need to do that, because otherwise you feel stiff. So like, I never say don't crack your knuckles, but I do say don't self-adjust your neck. And the reason I say that is when we self-adjust ourselves, we're getting the segments that don't have an issue moving. They're not causing a problem. The chiropractor adjusts the segment that is causing a problem, that isn't having that motion, that might be causing that pain or that lack of range of motion, that headache you're feeling. And that's where we go in and adjust. When I have patients come in, I've had so many patients say, I'm just nervous about the neck. And I just have a conversation with them. I show them the spine. This is what we're doing that day. But with the neck adjustment, I tell people, of any adjustment in your spine, the neck is the best. And it's the best because you have one of your biggest cranial nerves running through your first two vertebrae, and that's your vagus nerve. And your vagus nerve supplies all your organs above your pelvis. So your heart, your lungs, your liver, your gallbladder, your stomach, and some of your colon. And again, my anatomy from the from however many years ago is not on par. So if I made a slight error in those organs, you know, someone can correct me on it. But the power of your neck adjustment is so big because it actually helps with that stress. And I have seen patients, not from my, it's I'm not causing the change, their body is causing the change, have issues with their breathing, with their stomach, be helped from getting their neck adjusted. One patient in general, he came to me and his reason for coming to me was, he said to me, Teresa, I don't get my patients to call me doctor. I say, just call me by my first name. If I don't like you, you can call me doctor. But other than that, just call me Teresa or T or Dr. T is fine. And he came in, he said, listen, the reason I'm coming to you is because I can't eat anything but smoothies. I can't digest food. I need smoothies and that's it. And he's like, that is what I, what I'm coming here for, is I'm hoping chiropractic will help me with that. And so I said to him, I said, listen, I can't promise you I'm going to fix your stomach. What I can do though, is I can check your spine. I can see where you're subluxated and we'll adjust the segments and it might help your stomach, but I'm not causing the stomach effect. That's your body doing it. And so he said, okay, let's give it a shot. And so I'm pretty sure after 16 visits, so that was about twice a week for 8 weeks is what I saw him. And from then on, he has not had any stomach issues, you know, and he didn't change anything in his diet. And I really just believe that his body just had the ability to heal itself with a little bit of help.
Yeah. No more pressure on that nerve there. Yeah.
Right. And I get some cool, really cool stories like that. And that's when I look at my career and I'm like, wow, the universe knew what it was doing when it set me up with that loser boy to make me go down this career path, you know?
I think we all have stories of that, like that. Yeah, but I was going to throw my little story in from earlier this year as just like another little antidote of what you're talking about. So I have some history with vertigo from almost 10 years ago was the first bout I had. It lasted for about 3 months. It was treated with medication by my doctor because I didn't really know anything any better. And I wasn't in massage therapy at the time. Fast forward to this Christmas, right before the holidays, like I had taken a week off. I felt great. And I had said to my partner before going to sleep one night, oh, I think I need to go see Teresa. I think like my C1, C2 is out because again, as a massage therapist, we have those palpation skills that I'm like, I know it's just not sitting properly. So like I'll call her in the morning or I'll book online in the morning. I woke up and I couldn't stand up. I woke up and got out of bed to go to the washroom and I fell into the wall and I thought, oh my gosh, what is this? I'm like, maybe I'm just tired. You know, just a little like, woo, getting up in the morning, got to the bathroom, sat down on that toilet. And I wasn't sitting straight. I kept falling and having to use the sink and the counter to hold myself up. Went back to bed. And then the nausea started coming because I'm really prone to that. So it turns out like I had basically vertigo symptoms again. I had a bit of a pity party for myself for probably an hour freaking out because it's just – it's not fun. It's scary. My spouse, I think, actually took me to the other chiropractor I saw, but I know Teresa was also involved in my treatment with this as well. And after I think I had an adjustment by the other chiro, I saw you probably within a week. And I think I saw you once a week for about a month. And honestly, after that first adjustment and the second adjustment, my dizziness went away about 90% and I could walk and all of that. And within, I think I took a week off of work or a couple of days off of work because I just wanted to make sure. But compared to the first time, I think it took me about 10 days, 14 days to fully recover, where the first time I went through vertigo was 3 months. Now I know that's not for everybody. Vertigo is it's a symptom of so many different conditions. So I just thought I'd throw that in there of like how powerful chiropractics can be.
Yeah, I'll throw this in there too. I started when I started seeing Teresa. We had mentioned that I was really pregnant. I started seeing Teresa because I had heard that chiropractic can help with having like easier, shorter labors. And I was like, let's hop on that train because that is all that I need. And you were helping me. I was having round ligament pain and like a whole bunch of stuff because I worked up until like a week before Jack was born. So prenatal. And there's like a really neat technique that you can use that can sometimes help move breech babies, right? I don't remember what it's called.
Webster's technique.
Webster's, that's what it is. And you helped me because Jack was sideways as well. And we moved him around. I remember, I think we have a photo of it, how different my abdomen was before and after. And you could see how like he moved around and how he would like face the right direction. He was half right. He was face up, but head down at least. That's the head down just needed to be the right direction. So that was good. And then Ben, I saw you a bunch of times, a little less because of the pandemic, so it was a little harder, that kind of thing. But my labor and delivery with Benjamin was like all of like an hour long. So chiropractic helps with pregnancy as well. I think it's not widely known, but a lot of pregnant women should probably head on in there too, because there's so many changes within your spine and your pelvis and your joints because of relaxin, the hormone being like released in your body. It's pretty powerful, so it does its thing too, right? So I wanted to throw that in there because I think, again, like we were saying, a lot of people think you just have to go when you're broken, but it's definitely aided in just the wellness of those two major life events. So
yes, and I thank you for mentioning that. I've completely forgot pregnancy. I saw like three pregnant ladies today and it just slipped my mind, right?
It's like a whole other world sometimes with pregnancy, because I've had a big influx of pregnant people over these last I'm gonna say 6 months or so. Yeah, some I saw started – they were at 6 months and they've had babies, and I'm now seeing a whole other crew. So have you seen the same type of influx of pregnant people as well with this pandemic?
Yeah, a lot of pandemic babies. I think I have 3 or 4 women all due within the same week in July.
Yep, I had one of those too.
It's kind of funny, right? And you're just like – and you're like – and it's interesting to see, and then how they're all progressing and what symptoms they're sharing.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of them, you know, toward that end of your last trimester, that relaxing. And sometimes they'll see me 3 times a week because their pelvis just goes out that many times with their pregnancy. Yeah. But I always say – Go get a massage. Did you get a massage? No. Okay. Go get a massage, guys. Like, and then they tell me, they're like, I was nervous coming here today because I know you were going to say, did you get a massage? And the answer is no.
I'm not going to lie. I've had a few of them say, okay, Teresa's told me 3 times to come get a massage and now I'm finally here. I'm like, okay, good.
I am the scolding mother in the office. Go get a massage now.
Oh, goodness. So do you want to go back a bit? You mentioned a little earlier some fun, maybe not some fun, but like you had some pretty interesting and some fun stories. Is there any that you want to share that pop out to you?
Yeah, I'll share 2. One is more funny, and then one actually happened to me recently, and I was funny because I was talking to Nicole about it, right? Because I was like having a moment that day in my office. I was a little scared, but back when I worked in the gym, a lot of bodybuilders, and they do a lot of steroids, right? So I've had people come in my office that were patients of mine, and they're like, hey, do you mind just injecting my steroids in my arm for me because my wife can't do it, or I just can't reach because I'm too big now, right? And I was like, no, I will not do that. And they're like, I promise I won't tell anybody. And I was just saying, no, I'm still not going to inject your steroids, right? So it's kind of funny, but they all know, like I have a bunch of brothers and a couple of them bodybuild and they know they're on steroids. So they think that I'm just cool with it and I just do that. And I was like, no, I do not do that. And actually I had a patient and he had a knee infection because he injected steroids in the wrong place. And then he ended up developing a knee infection in the other knee for the same reason within 2 weeks of each other. Yes, that was the gym gave me so much experience with that kind of stuff. It was definitely interesting and I could tell stories on it for days, but I will tell the one that happened recently in my office because it has to do with pandemic burnout. And I had this gentleman come in and he was coming in for some costochondritis. And what happened was he came in and he had left chest pain, and he had left arm numbness a day before. This was 3 days of chest pain, and the left arm numbness was the one day. On the Monday, he went to see his medical doctor. They took his blood pressure. It was very high, and because he has a history of anxiety attacks and panic attacks, they said that it was likely just a panic attack and not to worry about it. So he went home and he was still stressing about it. And I think the stress didn't help. And so when he saw me, he was having these heart attack symptoms. And when I palpated his chest, his spine, his ribs, his arm, I couldn't reproduce anything. And there's a red flag, right? So I took his blood pressure, and his blood pressure was 160 over 100 on that left arm. And on the right side, it was slightly different. It was 150 over 90, which is different to have that different, or it's, sorry, it's it's common for that difference, right? Your left's generally higher because it's closer to your heart and your aorta. Right. So from there, his pulse was, I think, 72, and he was on blood thinners. So I was like, likely, less likely because the high blood pressure and the blood thinners, this is a heart attack in progress, because generally when you're on blood thinners, you've either had a heart attack or you're on blood thinners to prevent one. So I didn't feel like that was it. Plus high blood pressure usually isn't a heart attack because you have a decreased output. So you usually have a lower blood pressure. Stroke produces a high blood pressure. So I was like, you know what? Do I call 911? And I didn't mention this, but I also teach first aid and CPR to chiropractors. And I'm like, wow, I really should know this if I am teaching this all the time to people. And I was like, you know what? He was pretty stable. He was nervous. And because of his history, I really just think this is an anxiety attack. Plus, he told me, like, he's just, you know, he lost his job. He's been stressed. He's not been doing the best, right?
Oh, goodness.
So I decided, I'm like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to call 911, but I am not going to let him drive out of here. So I said, is there anyone we can call to take you to the ER? Because that's where I want you to end up, right? I don't want you to go home. I don't want you to drive. So his brother ended up coming in and getting him. And I told his brother what was going on. And then I told this gentleman, I said, I'm going to call you later at the end of my shift. It was in a few hours to check in on you, because I said, the ER is going to be fast because it's the pandemic and not many people are going to be in there. Yeah. So I said, and I gave them kind of the lowdown on what they're going to do. I said, you're going to go in, they're going to process you, they're going to do your vitals like I did. They're going to do an EKG on you. They might do a stress test and run some blood work and to see if you had a heart attack or not. Right. Which I didn't think it was at all, because it wasn't really pointing to that so much anymore. And so I called him later and he said, you know what? He's like, my blood work was fine. There was no C-reactive protein, which is when you have a heart attack in your blood. So that was fine. They said they did an EKG and something was off, but it wasn't to do with a heart attack. And the doctor basically said my anxiety was definitely up and most likely causing this. But I won't lie. Like, I had a little moment where I was like, should I call the ambulance? Like, or should I have called the ambulance? But I went with my gut and I said, I don't think this is a 911 phone call.
Yeah. And I think this story, I think a lot of therapists have something similar, or just maybe not as an emergent but or first response needed, but red flags going off constantly. And I think it's important to point out here is that, like, this is the reason why you pay a professional to be your chiropractor, to be your massage therapist, to be your physician. Well, in Ontario, we don't really pay physicians, but you know what I mean, though, is that we've gone through this training of first response and what to do, as well as how to recognize red flags and know when treatment is contraindicated, right? And what to do from there. So I think it's super important to anybody listening of, you know, I know some of our fees can be high and can be intimidating, but there's a reason for them, because we've gone through school to make sure, first and foremost, that your treatment is safe. Like, that's all of our priority, is that you're safe. If we don't think you're safe, we're going to do exactly what Teresa did. And we don't care about your appointment at that point. Like, no offense, that's not to be cold. We need to make sure you're safe first, right? And if that's going to the emergency room or calling an ambulance, that's what we're going to do. So I think you did a great job, and I would totally trust any of your judgment. Like you said, you teach first aid, and with what you do, if I was in the room with you, I'd probably be like, Teresa, you're taking lead on this. Like, I trust your judgment on everything. I'm also, from my history, a wimp with all of that stuff. So if I can, you know, hand over to somebody who is more capable than myself, I will. So I think that's awesome that you did that and you really looked out for him. So
I think, though, for everybody, that's not going to be our first episode or just the only episode of seeing this burnout and this anxiety over the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people come into the offices and they just want to talk to somebody. They want a hug. No one's got to touch anybody for so long. I'll hug you. I'll give you a hug, man. I'm like two feet away from you at like in the office and I'm really close to you and I'm adjusting you. I'll give you a hug. Like, because hugs release oxytocin and people need that right now.
Yeah, that's a huge point too. I think that's not to be like missed in all of this. Chiropractic, massage therapy, other manual therapy. It's sometimes the only physical interaction people are getting these days, right? So I think that's maybe we see an influx. Also, I think, like Heather said, people are trying to take better action with their health and stuff like that because they're seeing like something like this, totally nothing we could have planned for, comes in and does all of this to us, right? So how do you want to live? It was the people who have like pre-existing like heart conditions and, do you know what I mean, overweight and like all of these things that unfortunately COVID really hit hard. So we're kind of looking at ourselves being like, how can I make myself healthy, right, before anything bad really happens? So that's true. I can't imagine having someone show up and have those symptoms. On another podcast we talked about how I had to call the ambulance for someone because of their back.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous. I don't know why it keeps happening to me. Good thing I got my CPR. I know, right? Good thing I have my first aid and CPR with Teresa, so I know what I'm doing.
Well, and that's the thing with the CMTO, so the College of Massage Therapists of Ontario, you're required to have, I think, level C first aid and CPR to apply for your registration, but there's no mandate to upkeep that through our entire, like, we just need it once. And as soon as we have our registration number, we're good. I personally don't think that's like, if we want to be seen like the rest of the medical community, we need to have at least that under our belts and keep up to date with those skills. Because if somebody's having heart attack symptoms, they probably aren't thinking massage therapy. But as we're learning, especially with women, that the symptoms don't look like the classic signs, right? They could be low back pain. They could be an upset stomach. They could be neck pain. I think it would be – I think that's something that needs to change for us massage therapists. We need to be more up to date continuously.
Yes, CMTO's listening. Yes. Try to do that. That should be something we need to have.
I'm sure I'll get hate for that, but whatever.
Whatever. Do we do this not for hate? I don't even know. I had a question for you, Teresa. What is something that you wished other healthcare providers knew about chiropractic? Either something that's misconceived or something you think is just being missed completely? That you kind of wish like they knew. So if they knew, like, they would refer better or they would just be able to explain it better, something like that.
For sure. I think two things. One would be that you don't have to be in pain to come see us. Like, send them to us when they're normal, as just a general health and wellness check and to get adjusted because it's good for you. And the other thing I would say is there's a lot of people who have issues because they actually have a leg length discrepancy. And it's because, so one leg is not physiologically or anatomically, sorry, shorter than the other, but it's because of misalignment in the spine that your leg is shorter and you're standing leaning to one side or the other. And generally that's because your pelvis, along with other parts of your spine, are out of alignment. So some people are like, I have knee pain and that's the only pain I have. And they go to physio and, you know, I wish that the physiotherapist would say, hey, I maybe see a middle of a misalignment in your pelvis. Like Heather mentioned, she's like looking at the pelvis on the table and said, that's something we can help fix. I've had so many people come in saying they have knee pain. It's not their knee, it's their pelvis, right? Mm-hmm. I'd say 90% of my patients that have knee pain, it's in their hips, right? And that's where I'm like, okay, here's our plan. We're going to adjust you, go get massage, and actually go get physio to help stabilize your pelvis as well.
Because do you find most misalignments are coming from a muscle weakness, muscle imbalance?
So I guess it's like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Is it that their spine went out of alignment or their muscle pulled it out of alignment, right? And I don't think really anybody knows. And if someone knows, can you just talk to me later and I'd love to hear about it. So that's why I always sorry, I was just going to say, I always tell my patients, like, go get a massage, do both. It's great. You got physio? Go get physio. That's awesome. Like, I am so pro, you know, let's everybody help this person to get them better faster, or just help them on the wellness path, right? I don't ever think you just need chiro or you just need massage or physio. Yeah. Like, I think it's great to get 100% all of it. I was just going to say, there's no competition. Like, we're all working together to help people, right? And it's, and I think sometimes people think, you know, chiros are competing with physios, and that's not the case. Like, we all work together. And I frequently refer to a physio in Oshawa all the time, because I'm like, her team, they're going to help you with this issue, because I adjust people. I do give exercises, but I'm not a physiotherapist. Like, I didn't go to school for that. That's what they went to school for in their
specialty.
Yeah. So I was like, you go see them and they'll help you, and I'll help you with the alignment.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was gonna say. A lot of us have, we all have overlapping scopes of our practice. Like, we can do joint mobilizations, but they're low grade, not the high velocity, low amplitudes, high amplitudes that you're doing. But, you know, we do some gentle mobs that you can obviously do too. You do some massage, some soft tissue work, and we, you and RMTs, can prescribe stretching and exercise and home programs like a physio does. It's just like, I don't have enough time in my treatment to be able to do that effectively, even though somebody can book in for like a 30 minute and we literally just go through exercises, but a lot of people aren't going to do that. And same with you. It's like, the way your treatments are set up, there's not enough time for it. So it's smart to put us, like, we got to all work together. So we're all a piece of the puzzle, right? And adding in others too, if that's counseling, if that's naturopath, whatever it is, foot care, orthotics, whatever it is, bringing it all in. Yes. Yeah. So anyhow, I had a random question. It might be a very short answer. How, when you're palpating, how do you know that something needs to be adjusted? How can you tell? I know probably per joint it's different, but.
Mm-hmm. With the alignment, we're looking for inflammation. And when inflammation is like it's a nodule or a bump within the spinal segments, it could be the actual spine itself or what we call the facet joint, which is just off the spine. We look for muscles that are maybe tighter in some areas, or we're actually going to palpate the spinuses themselves, like your spine that you would see on someone's back, and look to see if it's moved one way or the other. But funny story, because you asked me this question and I laugh, because like way back in the day, like way back early chiro college days, like prior to me even being born, like, you know, however many years ago, what they made them do was they took apart an entire model of a spine and put all the segments in the bag, and they're like, pick out L5. Now palpate in there. Don't look. You pick out C1. Now pick out C7. And you had to know specifically what all of them felt like. Oh, I would have failed miserably. Like, we never did that, right? But it's funny because, like, coming out of school, you suck at helping, you suck at adjusting. And then at practice and practice and practice, and then you're like, oh, this is where you're out, and oh, this is where you're out. And it only is going to get better with time, obviously, right? Like, I'm only in practice 6 years. Like, I got so much more to go. But it's funny. I look at myself now and I'm like, wow, I palpate way better than I did when I first started. Like, I can't believe people saw me back then.
Yeah,
that's funny. I feel the exact same way. I'm like, I'm so sorry to anybody who saw me 12 years ago. Like, I'm not the same massage therapist then as I am now. It's kind of wild.
I think everybody can agree with that. I ask that question because we hear so much, like, what do you feel, or like, how do you know that hurts? And it's like, sometimes it's really,
how do you
hard.
Know the spot?
Yeah, it's so hard to explain, because like I find with like joints, like I can really tell if somebody's misaligned, obviously not as well as you can, but I can tell. But when it comes to muscles, I just find it's harder to explain, especially if it's not like a trigger point or a specific like top band, like textbook top band. Like, sometimes they're just like, their fascia's tight and like just everything is like solid, and you're like, you don't want to be like, well, you feel like a rock. Like,
yeah, I know,
You know what I mean? You're trying to find like, you know, nicer descriptive words for people, but it's such a hard thing to describe.
I usually tell my clients, well, I know what a normal muscle is supposed to feel like. And this doesn't feel like that. That's it, right? And they're like, okay. And it's like, there is no other sort of like description. It's just, you know what normal without disease or any pathology feels like. So then you know when it's like, oh, that's not it. And I think there comes to a point, I'm sure you have this too, Teresa. It's like you're saying your gut with that client. It comes to like this intuition, like feeling. Like we also get like visual cues, like especially like Heather and I. Like when someone's on the table, you can see their back. You can see their skin. You can see their muscles. You can see their like their rib cage flared on one side compared to the other. You can see when they're lying down on a big rectangle of a table, how they're like a weird C shape for some strange reason. And you're like, do you feel straight right now? Like, is that what feels like normal and aligned to you? So it's like, that's not the way your back needs to be right now. So I'm glad Heather asked you that, because I'm clients will be like, oh, does like my, because they'll feel me running my hands like down their spine. Like, does my back feel out? And I'm just like, I'm pretty sure, but you need to go see Teresa. Like, even if it is, I was like, I'm not going to be doing anything about this right now. Like, I'm going to be massaging, helping, prepping. And maybe when you get off the table, something might align itself. But if it's aligning itself, there's probably a whole different segment that needs to be touched by the professional Dr. Lisk. So.
Yeah. Do you have any other questions, Nicole?
I did. I actually just wanted you, and I know you kind of touched on this in a bunch of different places. I wanted you to sort of walk us through like a, you can make it whatever kind of treatment you want, but a treatment from beginning sort of to end, in as much or as little detail as you want to give, just so people can have like maybe an idea of like what to expect when they show up. Because like with us, you know what I mean? Like it varies sort of for RMT, but people know when they show up here, the rundown. So from beginning to end, sort of like what can they expect from you in a treatment?
Sure. Yeah. So when they come in, they're going to meet Robin, and Robin is like full of life and will talk your ear off. And I love it because she's such a conversationalist and has stories for like everybody with all her life experience. So first you're going to meet Robin, right? And then you're going to talk to her for a couple minutes. And then when you come in my room, you have usually it's 10 minute slots unless they get acupuncture, and 10 minutes just the treatment, right? It's not the initial assessment. Mm-hmm. And so from there, you know, first I'm like, you know, hey, how's it going? Like, how are you feeling? How's your body feeling? What's going on? Is there anything you want to get off your chest that's bugging you prior to this adjustment that's going to, you know, help hold your adjustment? Because I always tell people, you know, not on every visit, but if you're holding stress, your adjustment's not going to hold well, right? You need to get that off your chest. So then they'll go usually face down on the table, and I check their leg length first thing. Oh, your right leg's short today, your left leg's short today, and it's because of this, this, and this. So then what I do actually is to check where I need to do your neck adjustment, I actually get your head to turn right and left on the table so I can see how your legs align to know where you're out of alignment when I do that. And that is a whole big, long neurological explanation that I don't even want to get into
another
right
podcast.
Now. But,
another one.
Yes. And so then I will do my adjustments on them. And I actually have a drop table. And so what a drop table is you lie face down. And then the neck piece will pop up when I adjust your neck. The pelvic piece will pop up, or the lumbar, the low back one, when I adjust those areas. And why I have the drop piece table is because more force gets absorbed by the table and less in your spine. And it allows me to provide the types of adjustments that I like to give people. And I do lots of different types, but I mainly do 90% is the drop table, right? So sometimes you'll come in the office and you'll hear this loud banging and they're like, what is she doing to those people in there? And I love when new patients, like they come in, they're like, what did you do? Like, what are you doing in here? Because it was loud out there, right? And it's just the drop table that makes the sound. So the adjustment itself takes minutes. And sometimes I'll do a manual adjustment where I'll put them on their side or not use a drop piece or on their back. And then sometimes I might use what's called an activator. And it's a little very low force tool. We called it the clicker sometimes. And I use that sometimes on babies or seniors. Mm-hmm. And then I might do, you know, a little bit of soft tissue, but generally I leave it up for you two ladies because that's what you went to school for. And that's what you're way better at it than I am. And then from there I'll say, hey, then I want to see you later this week, next week. You know, I always tell patients when I want to see them, even if I know they're not going to book then, or they're only going to book whenever they feel like it, just so that, you know, I can write it down that this is when I said to see them. Because then if they come back in, let's say, 4 months, and they're like, doc, I don't get why my back still hurts. And I'm like, what did I tell you last time? Oh, look, I wrote it down. And sometimes I'm a little sarcastic with them because I'm like, how many times have I told you to come on a regular basis and you don't? And they're like, yeah, I know. Okay. And then I don't get blamed for it. Mm-hmm.
I think you have that in my file. I'm like the worst patient ever. You're like, so Nicole, like come back. I'm like, yep, I'll rebook. And you're like, no, you probably won't. And you're gonna hurt. You're gonna throw your back up picking out those babies, and then you're gonna be like, no, I'm dying. Please fit me in. And you always do. Thank you for that, because I'm
of course.
I swear I have the best intentions. Like I swear I have on the online booking opened on my phone when I get home, and then somehow it takes me 2 months to fill it out. I don't really know how that seems to work, but always come
sometimes
to my aid.
Oh my God, always. Yeah. And sometimes it's funny. Like, I remember I just saw a patient that I hadn't seen in 2 years the other day, and I love to joke with them. And I'm like, I said, the first thing out of my mouth was, do I know you? did you see me here before? It's been a while, I feel like. Let's see how long it's been. And they laugh, right? Right. Whereas, like, I mean no harm by it. I'm just trying to, like, lighten the mood because I like to have fun in the office. Like, the office in my office is never serious. Like, I want to go to work and have fun and laugh and give hugs. I like to hug people, you know. And so that's probably a typical appointment. And then you'll leave and Robin will bill you and book you, and then she'll tell you more stories and then send you on your
and
way.
And tell
right?
you to so take a chocolate.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my God. We had to get rid of those chocolates for a bit because I swear to God, I bought that Costco pack and it was gone in a week. And I'm like, where is everyone going to get diabetes now?
Like- oh, goodness. Well,
once
sorry, Nicole.
That's okay. I was just saying, once you go get that master's with nutrition, you're gonna be like, here, have these yummy quinoa chocolate bites. Yeah, exactly. And be like, no.
I know, here, have these keto chocolate bars. It's not real chocolate, it's cacao.
And I'll be like, no, that's not what I came here for.
Yeah. Where's my Easter chocolate?
I wanted my instant, like, dopamine dump with the chocolate of instant gratification, okay?
Oh, gosh. I had another question about kicking it back to school, around the schools and stuff. So is CMCC, so that's the Canadian Memorial Chiropractor College?
Correct.
Is there only one chiropractor college in Canada?
You know what? This is such a timely question, actually, because it is the only English speaking in Canada. Okay. There's one in Quebec. It's called Trois-Rivières. Yeah. You actually go there right out of high school. So those chiros only do 5 years of schooling, and as opposed to the 4 and 4 like we did. And then they 23 and they're out practicing. And I'm like, dang, they had so much more time to pay down their student loans than I did, right? But I actually tried to set one out west and it didn't happen. And so, honest to God, it would be awesome to get this school nearby, because man, if I could, my goal I would love to do is get my master's in nutrition and then actually help teach at the college.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be so awesome. Yeah. I was always curious because it's so different, again, from massage, because it kind of seems like there's a massage school everywhere, every town, every city. So it just kind of speaks to the different approaches, right? That, you know, Chiro is one or two schools, like, or less than a handful of schools, and probably very difficult. Well, I know it's very difficult to get into because I didn't get in. And like, and you have a bigger pool.
I didn't know you applied, Heather.
I did. I applied after I graduated, and I missed the GPA by 0.4. But now I've come to learn that many people apply a few times. It's not just a one in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So I was just like, oh, I'm a failure. I never got in. I can never apply again. But again, just like you said, life had other plans for me, and that's why. But yeah, it's just, I find it so interesting because clearly, like, there is a high standard and a specific standard that is set for chiros, and it can be maintained because there's so few schools, right? Like with us, it's hard, it seems to be, to maintain a standard, because there's just schools popping up everywhere and some that are pretending that they're accredited and they're not, and stealing people's money and all of that, right? Wow. So, but that's also a testament probably to the fact that chiropractors are Canadian. It's a Canadian college. Like, it's not by province. Is that correct?
Yes. So, I mean, chiropractic, if you can go to any chiro school in the world mm-hmm. that you want, right? Right. Like there's ones in Australia, New Zealand, Spain, England, I think, and then a bunch mm-hmm. in the US. And then I think Brazil has one, but don't quote me on that one. Right. And then you can go practice wherever. Yeah. You just got to write your boards for either the country, mm-hmm. but actually for Canada and the US, how it works is you write your set of boards for Canada, but then you got to go write the provincial ethics exam for whatever province you're going to practice in. Mm-hmm. And in the States, you would write your US boards. But I don't know if there's like a specific ethics exam per state, probably. Like there is in Canada. Yeah. Probably yeah. there probably
so,
is.
Yeah, right? So yeah,
we had actually had a lot of Canadians go to American schools because yes. American schools are easier to get into. Mm-hmm. But then the students from the American schools would come up and write our Canadian boards. And CMCC is a very difficult school. It's a lot of training, a lot of studying. And there's so many times you cry yourself to sleep at night going to that school. Worth it in the end. You know, mm-hmm. I had a good education there. But they fail the Canadian boards because the American schools they find aren't as stringent on the studies as we are. Not that their education isn't great. They get a great education. They're just not as prepared, I find, for the Canadian boards as we are. Mm-hmm. So going into boards, I was stressed, but not as stressed as I know some students were.
Right, right. Very interesting. So yeah, so Canadian-wide, you're governed, but then it is broken down into provincial for ethics and
yes.
and other things within that. So very yeah. interesting.
Actually, sorry, if I said that wrong, we're governed by our province.
Oh, okay. Yes. So you are provincially.
College of,
yeah, our
College of
yes.
KM.
Okay.
Sorry.
So then there'd be yeah. different.
Just like us.
Yeah. Okay. But each province, mm-hmm. it has a regulatory body versus us because we only have about 6, I think it is now, mm-hmm. that have regulatory bodies, provincial yeah, regulatory bodies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other provinces that don't for massage, they have their own yeah. association.
They could have a handful of them.
Yeah. We're trying to get the Canada thing. Yeah. So you write like a Canadian like yeah. standardized test and then you do provincial ethics kind of testing. Because as of right now, if you're in one of the regulated provinces, if to move to a different province, all you have to do is write their standard and ethics test. Because health law province to province is different for mm-hmm. whatever reason. Who knows? Yeah. Something I wanted to throw out there, just because you're talking about like chiropractic being all over the world. Fun little like factoid. Daniel David Palmer, one of the founding people, fathers, I guess, founding father of chiropractic, actually yep. was mm-hmm. born in a little town called Port Perry, Ontario, which is actually where I grew up. There's like a big statue of him in our like Palmer Park yep. Downtown in Port Perry. Yep. So it's kind of a strange thing he was born in Canada. Then I think he moved to, I don't know, Chicago or Los Angeles or somewhere in the States or something like that. But yeah. I'm sure you know more about him.
Yes, I know. Going to that statue is like historic for us. And I've been there a few times, right? And it's cool because you get all the names of all the people who helped start chiropractic yes. in schools and whatnot on the statue. And it's called Palmer Park. And I remember I took my partner mm-hmm. there and I was like, you don't understand how crucial it is that you have seen this statue. And well, he was like, know. Oh, I didn't know that. And that's cool. And yeah. I'm like, no, you don't get it.
Which is funny.
But then, Dee Dee Palmer.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? I just say Dee Dee Palmer, yeah. I think, went to, and this is like, my history may not be the best, Iowa, and opened up Palmer School of Chiropractic.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I grew up looking at that statue, mm-hmm. being like, who is this guy? And why does it matter? No, like I knew what it was. It's kind of one of Port Perry's weird little like claim to fame. Not that many people know it because he left. But I remember seeing that and be like, oh, and I do chiropractic. It wasn't until I actually went to massage school that I realized the significance of like having that like in my hometown. There's like a yeah. bunch of chiropractors in Port Perry and like Uxbridge and it's like everywhere, which isn't the case for like I don't know, all over Ontario, obviously. But yeah, I just want to throw that fun factoid out there for people in case you're wondering, like, where it started. It didn't start, like, or who started it. Like, it actually started, like, here. And from where we live, it's, like, literally, like, a 20-minute drive where he planted his feet and took his first breath and became the iconic person that he came to be. So,
yeah, well, we'll try to, if one of us isn't able in the next little bit while we're posting about this episode, to go up and maybe take a picture. Maybe I'll be able to get up there. I don't know. I'll find a way to for us to take a trip up to Port Perry and take a picture.
I can actually get one for us. Don't worry about it.
Awesome. I'm and we'll there share it
to see my own father. And I can get a picture in Palma Park. And be like, yeah.
Perfect. We'll share it on our Instagram.
Yeah.
So if you want to go over and follow at the.mtp, that's the period massage therapy podcast, abbreviated MTP, on Instagram, and we'll get that up there soon so everybody can see it and cherish that little, like, claim to fame Port Perry has.
Yeah, put that on the map.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else?
I was just going to say that. Read my mind. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Teresa? We, like, appreciate being on here, but is there anything else that you want us to know or future clients to know or anything like that?
Oh, man, you got me on the spot here. I think, you know what, I guess just to sum it up, like, chiropractic is awesome. And if you haven't seen a chiropractor, like, go see one. And if you ever don't know who to go see, you can always send me an email. I'm sure these lovely ladies are going to put my little link to my Instagram or something in their site. And I will totally refer you to a chiropractor in your area that I think will work wonders for you and really help you out. And honest to God, chiropractic, not just practicing, but being adjusted, actually just changed my life so much. And it made me become a better person and a happier person.
That's amazing.
Ditto. Yeah. Awesome. We know that you love what you do, which is why we go see you and we send everyone to you. Yep. So I appreciate Heather and I appreciate you coming and talking to us to, like, clear up a bunch of that. I actually learned some stuff I didn't know, which is kind of awesome.
Oh,
again, I've been going to chiropractic since I was like a wee baby, so that's pretty sweet. And if anybody has any questions for us about like while they're in a massage, they should go for chiro. Make sure you fire it at. Because you never know, right? And you never know what different modalities can help. And if you are a massage therapist listening, maybe you can find a situation or a client that maybe would be helped by chiropractic. And now you know how to send them there and what to tell them. So maybe that helps.
Perfect. Well, before we sign off, let's run through our RMT time and chat about what we've been drinking. We'll start with our guests. It might not be tea by the shape of her glass over there, but we don't care, we don't judge, we don't. Well, what we went over Mark's marijuana that he was smoking last time we were on the podcast, so
yeah, RMT time is just whatever now.
It's whatever your tea is, your metaphorical tea is. So what are you drinking over there, Dr. Teresa?
Well, I'm double fisting over here.
Love it.
So I got a glass of rosé that we actually buy from a guy who makes it all himself. And it's super cheap. So I was like, and it doesn't give you a hangover the next day most times. And then I also have a glass of water. I was like, do I drink coffee during this podcast and stay awake longer? I'm like, nah, I'm going to have the wine. Yeah. So when we're done, I go to sleep because I'm, you know, old now and I can't stay up past 10 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, oh, my same. God. What are you drinking, Nicole?
I am actually in the office still, so it's late and I'm still in the office because we decided to record this after I was done work today. Anyway, so I stole some of Heather's David tea because she has a plethora of it here, and I am drinking Forever Nuts by David's Tea because it is the best ever, and I just noticed caffeine-free, which is probably good because I chugged a coffee before making the tea, so that was good. And just so anyone knows, it's delicious. So it says it's nutty, sweet, and addictive, and that's a legitimate description of what it is. Because I think smell it when I walk into the office.
Yeah. I think it's one of their best sellers. It's like one of their top sellers. To be honest, it's the first loose leaf tea I've ever drank, and like the first tea I've ever had from David's Tea was Forever Nuts. So
yeah, it's really yummy. Yeah, I would tell you all that's in it, but it's basically mostly apple, nuts, and cinnamon, beetroot. I don't even know. I can't read. Beetroot makes dark it pink. There you go. Yeah, it's a fun pink color too. Yeah. That's very true. Yeah. What are you drinking, Heather?
I'm drinking from David's Tea, Peppermint Amore. It's basically the tea I drink every night. My spouse and I usually make it for each other every single Aww. Night. I turned him onto it, and like he can't drink any other peppermint tea because he hates any other peppermint tea. He's like, it's not as good. And all it is peppermint leaves. That's the only ingredient in it. But I am not only double fisting, I guess you would call it triple fisting, that I do have my water in my It's Going to Be Okay, Tibia Okay cup I made. As well as my lactose intolerant self thought it was smart to drink/eat a Frosty tonight. So that's already gone too. So yeah, that's it. That's all I've been drinking over here. Perfect. Thanks again, well, Dr. Teresa. Well. Yep. For coming on. We really appreciate it. I'm sure there'll probably Thanks be podcasts in the future. Yeah.
We'll love it.
Sweet. Thank all you right. so much, doll. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Check out our links in the description below.
Awesome.
Ciao, guys.